Dear Thai, dear brothers and sisters, today is Friday, October the 8th, year 2010. We are at the Devang Temple. And tonight I would like to continue to share with you the five powers. I jump a little bit. Actually, we must talk a little bit about the five spiritual faculties first. However, to me, every one of us having all five of them. The first one, as you all know, is faith. The second one is effort. The third one is also mindfulness. The fourth one is concentration. And the fifth one is wisdom. Every one of us having all those five bases, all five foundation. For example, like in Denver, we must have power plants, for example. Everywhere we go, we always see power plant. However, please remember, the power plant is just a power plant. It is just a piece of junk. If we don't know how to generate it, to make a power plant generate power. Therefore, in ourselves, there is faith, there is mindfulness, there is wisdom, but they are only a piece of junk if we don't know how to use it. Every one of us have the capacity to develop wisdom, to put wisdom into power. Unfortunately, that we have jewel in our house, but we are running around to beg for food. We have $1 million in our house, but we are still sweet people because we don't know how to use them. Just like when we give children a lot of money, they don't know how to use them. The same applies to us. We always have faith, always have effort, always have mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. But we do not know how to put them into action. There is only one way to put them into action, that is practice. No other way. And every one of us heard about the expression, practice makes perfect, right? But we don't want to practice, and we always want perfect. What I'm sharing here, of course, during my stay here, I try the best I can to make sure that we understand that we all have them, but try the best we can to put them into action. That is all I can do. Literature is right there. All of us can read and write. All of us can get on computer and go to Google and look further. And of course, what I have in front of me, I pull out from Google, right? Everybody can do it. But the key is how to put them into action. And I believe many of you here can do better than me using computer. But we are really slack off. We have no intention to put what we already have into something we can use. And like I shared earlier, that faith, we have two types of faith. The first one is so-called common faith. The second one is faith through practice. The second one is called power. Whereas the first one, common faith, is just a foundation. It's something we have, but we do not know how to use. It is called faith faculty. But if we can put them into action through practice, then faith become power. For example, every time we go to the temple, we prostrate to the Buddha, and we always read the Dhamma, and of course we always respect the monks and nuns. That is just common faith. We go to the church, we respect Jesus Christ, we respect the priest, but that is just common faith. Okay, we have to put faith into power. That is the reason why in Dhammapada, and the Buddha says something like, if a person who can recite a lot of a sutra means the discourses, the teaching of the Buddha, a person who can read a lot, a person who can recite a lot, but if he or she does not know the essence of it, just like a person who is counting money in the bank, a bank teller count a lot of money, but the money are not there. Just like a person who take care of the herd can count how many cows, but the cows not belong to them. So that is us. That is something we must learn to change so that we can become somebody who can put whatever we learn into practice. Have you heard the story about a guy complain about how come our senses, everything is two, but our mouth only one? Yeah, okay. Any of you haven't heard of? Okay, so let me repeat that, and it doesn't hurt to hear it again. Okay. One time, there was one gentleman, and he complained that how come whoever created him so unfair, because he has two eyes, but only do one thing, that is seeing. Have two ears, has only one function, that is hearing. and two noses for breathing in and out, whereas he has only one mouth, but he has to do two things, eating and talking. Okay. One weekend, he bought something preparing that on this coming Saturday. Today is Friday, right? So he bought something at the today, preparing for tomorrow, so that he can invite his friends over, so that they can have party. And unfortunately, that night, his wife happened to be a little bit hungry, so she sneaked down and opened the refrigerator and ate most of it. Tomorrow, Saturday, when he opened the fridge, and he found out that not much left, and it's a little bit too far away from a supermarket. So he got really upset. The moment he started to ask his wife who did it, then his wife started to scream and yell and say some not so nice words. So he ran like crazy. And while he's running, he said, "Thanks God that we have only one mouth. If we have two mouths, then I'm in deep, deep trouble." Okay? So what what I'm trying to say is that most of the time we love chit-chatting, networking, talking about something very nonsense, some sort of house weather, so on and so forth, but we don't want to spend time to sit down and really talk about something can help, can make our life become better. And nowadays, not only just landline phone, but we also have a cell phone, so I can talk to somebody way back in Houston and telling them that, "Oh, we have a very nice and a very, very diligent English speaking sangha here," for example. So just sharing one little thing, maybe tomorrow, but tomorrow morning the whole world might know it. You see, so that is the problem. Once we and we love to spread rumor. I don't know if you have that habit or not, but I do. Every time I heard something about Thai, okay, I start get on my phone.
I don't know whether good or bad,
but that is a rumor. And to prove that I'm the first one who knew, then I start to add some more to it. Okay, make sure that the soup tastes good. Make sure that my story are nice to hear. So within 24 hours, the whole world now, people start to email, get on Facebook, so on and so forth. We don't get on the computer
to find out something about spiritual powers. But we get our computer to get pulled out something not so nice. And now I believe they just had something called Magic Jack. You heard of that? Oh, then you're behind me. Yeah, obsolete. Magic Jack. I can have a phone number in States. And if I go to, for example, to India, and if that place happen to have Wi-Fi, then I can get on internet and use that Magic Jack, call home for free. Am I correct to say that? Yeah, you see? Because I'm using a phone number. For example, here, 303, right? And I can call home free. And it is free within US and Canada. Therefore, even I call from India, but my number is 713. That is used the number. Calling 303, free. You see? So, rumor can spread so quick. And practice make perfect. The more we spread rumor, and the more we become artists. Whereas we forget about how to perfect our spiritual powers. And like I share with you, we have total five. But mindfulness is the lead horse. Okay? What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is the capacity to recognize, to observe without judgment. That is mindfulness. For example, I recognize that tonight we have total, say, 30 brothers and sisters. That is it. Don't say, oh, she's good looking, that you look ugly, so and so forth. No judgment, you see. She's young, she's beautiful, he's handsome, so and so forth. Now, just there are total 30 brothers and sisters show up tonight. That is it, okay? That is so-called bare attention. Mindfulness is also called bare attention. B-A-R-E. Not V-E-A-R. Bare attention. Recognition with no judgment. Okay. Whereas perception is something also we recognize. After we recognize, first of all, I recognize that now 30 brothers and sisters tonight. After tonight, when everybody went home, I start to think. Then I have to use my perception, because mindfulness is one thing. Mindfulness must need to have perception to register, to save in our hard drive, okay? And at night I pull it up and I try to memorize. And as many of you knew that I flunk memory test. Okay, so I closed my eyes. I said, okay, sit next to me is Elaine. Next to Elaine is somebody I don't know. And her face may be very, very so-so. Her dress is very beautiful. So somehow perception always deceiving. You see, always, almost wrong. Always, every time we try to pull up memory, almost every time we made mistake. Because every time we pull up memory, am I different from computer? Am I always add into our memory, our opinion? That is feeling. Always put into perception, feeling. Therefore, our perception always, I should not say always wrong, but almost always wrong. Yeah. Because I hardly know her, for example, but by looking at her, I barely look at her all the time, because every time, for example, when I share, I have to look across, something like that, right? And when my eyes meet her eyes, then I already move. Therefore, all I can remember is very, very vague. Together, I put into feeling. For example, if I happen to see him before, or see somebody look like him before, okay? And if that person I happen to like, then almost immediately I like him, you see. Or somebody I dislike, then I almost immediately, oh, he's not so nice, see. So perception, please do not trust our memory. Have to trust our mindfulness. Mindfulness is something we always have. To develop mindfulness is to learn something small first. For example, learn to remember how to put our shoes, for example. Learn to hang out on towel, that the four corners must be aligned, for example, not just throw it all around. I don't know how many of us do it, but I did. I'm a very good bad example. Because I always share about mindfulness, but I always goof. Believe me or not, that is the truth. So start with something small first. Many a times, early in the morning, during winter time, in a hurry, because he will always love to toast, maybe 10 more minutes in bed better than get outside in the cold. So try to toast ourselves a little bit more. By the time we look at the watch, it's already almost time to be in the office. So we had to run like hell. Put one sock or stocking. One is black and one is brown. Any of you had that experience? Yes, I believe so, because I did. So when we show up in the office, look at it, holy smoke, what can we do? You see, so the whole day is ruined. And especially when we have so calm, important meeting, and look down here, wow. And tell people what to do. You do this, you do that. Oh no. That's where problem coming from. So we have to learn to develop mindfulness, starting small step first. Very, very simple, but very, very powerful. That is the reason why every time when we are sitting, I always say, breathing in now, breathing out now, okay? And believe me, the moment the so-called hot air or cold air touching our nose, we know, right? Most of the time, or sometimes. But most of the time, or almost 99% of the time, after we sense the contact of the air at our nose, after that, we're gone. We start to think of something else. We start to worry, I don't know if I left my key out there, or if I turned the light off before I leave my house, or if I close my garage door before I left, so on and so forth. Sit there and worry. So forgetting following our breath. And keep on worry. The first 10 seconds, we have awareness. Somewhere in between worry. And then the last 10 seconds, when I invite the bell. Okay. But by that time, everything already gone. You see? So please learn to develop it. Oh, develop. Very, very, very little things at a time. And thanks to mindfulness, it will help the other two pairs in balance. Okay. The first pair is called faith and insight or wisdom. The second pair is effort and concentration. So we have total five powers. Okay. The first one is faith. The second one is effort. The third one is mindfulness. The fourth one is concentration. The fifth one is wisdom. And faith must go together with wisdom. And effort must go together with concentration. Under the guidance of mindfulness. But how? Let us look at effort, let us look at faith and wisdom or insight. Okay. When we go to the temple, out of liking and disliking, out of our emotion, we go to the temple. Our brother here, our Thai here, is so sweet and pleasant and handsome, so on and so forth. I like him so much. Therefore, I must show up every Tuesday and Friday and sometime every day. Okay, that is so-called blind faith. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it must be balanced with wisdom. We love the Buddha. We love the teaching of the Buddha. We love the nuns and nuns. That is blind faith. But we must have blind faith first. Please remember that there is nothing wrong with blind faith, because blind faith always a starter. We need to have something to start with. We must have blind faith to go to church. We must have blind faith to go to temple. Then when we go there, we start to learn. We start to learn. Learning means listening and reading. Then the next step is bring home and thinking, and then put into practice whatever make ourselves become happy, whatever make others happy, we practice. Whatever make ourselves happy but make others suffer, don't do it. Something like that. Whatever make others happy but make ourselves suffer, don't do it. And of course, whatever make others and ourselves suffer, of course we don't do. Always do something make others and ourselves happy. Less and less suffering. Happy maybe not yet, but at least don't say something not so kind. Make others unhappy or suffer. When we say something out of habit, because we have a habit of saying something not so nice. I don't know if you have that problem or not, but I did. I remember when I was in college, I always use foul language. Okay, I don't know why, but maybe because I always have a very good excuse, because my parents are not around. Okay, that is a good excuse. No Vietnamese around. That is a good excuse. Come here, I must learn the language. Okay, and easiest way to learn is learn foul language. Am I correct to say that? Yeah? It's so easy somehow. I remember when I went to Thailand or Burma, the first thing I learned is these words. I don't know why, but it seemed to me that unwholesomeness is something in here always. Of course, every one of us made of two sides, unwholesomeness and wholesomeness. But somehow, unwholesomeness always come out first. So learn to develop mindfulness. Every time we say something not so nice, stop right away. Because the moment we say something unloving, we cannot catch it. Once the word come out, that's it. Just like once we release an arrow, we cannot catch it. Therefore, learn the best we can. Stop before it come out through our mouth or through speech or through action. Okay. So we must learn to balance faith and wisdom. Learn, then think, then put into practice. Then faith will become wisdom. When we are talking about five, but actually the moment we have one perfected, we got them all. That is the beauty of interdependent arising. Once we get it, we get them all. Somebody asked me, is faith greed? The answer is yes. Faith is greed. According to Buddhist psychology, blind faith equivalent to greed. But the term greed is very generic. Okay. It's so vague. Put this way, faith is desire. Without desire, we cannot go to temple or church. We must have a desire to become a better person. We must have a desire. However, if we learn to guide faith, to guide our desire without mindfulness, then that desire will lead us to have a life less and less suffering. Whereas without mindfulness, we do it out of so-called habit energy, then that desire will take us somewhere to maybe casino instead of coming in here to practice together. So through mindfulness, the moment we start the car, we must have direction. That direction is mindfulness. We have a desire, we have faith. But how do I have faith? How do I make desire become something lead me to a better life? Instead of driving a car toward casino, I drive my car toward temple. Thanks to mindfulness. Mindfulness, number one, bear attention. All we know is do it. Slowly, over time, it will become clear comprehension. Mindfulness together with clear comprehension. Mindfulness is when I see this thing, I say, oh, this thing, okay. But through practice, through faith, day in, day out, I come here and practice. day in, day out. All of a sudden, this thing, death. Then I start to realize that everything must change. There is nothing stagnant. We all grow old. Then mindfulness slowly together with clear comprehension, we will turn faith become wisdom. And this thing, because it is consists of many, many parts, many small things. Someday, somehow, they went on strike. They don't want to work together. It dropped there. But everything is like that. That is the reason why the Buddha says something. Anything exists through condition, a subject to be changed. Okay. Tất cả các pháp là vô thường. Anything condition, everything we have here will eventually change. Right now, we think that this thing is not changing, or no, it is ever changing, and we do not know. For example, before science was invented or really developed, we do not know that every second, every minute, how many million of cells die and grow, right? Before that, we didn't know. But now we know every second, every minute, million of cells born and die. So you see, within ourselves, every second, every minute is ever changing. Therefore, please remember, do not think that our spouse or our children stay the way they are or the way they used to. But there is one thing never change, and that is loving kindness. Yeah. Why loving kindness won't change? Because what we call love, for example, I love you so much, my sweetheart, that is not loving kindness. That is, number one, could be possessive love. That could be out of ego, something conditional love. If you do the way I want, I love you. If you don't do the way I want, forget it. Okay, I look for somebody else. Bunch of them out there. If I'm mucho rich. You see? That is not love. That is what we call love is not love. True love is unconditional. Anything unconditional won't change. Of course, it will change, but not within our lifetime. Okay. I don't know if I should share this or not, but what the heck. But make sure that don't spread it. Okay. Okay. I remember when I first came here from Canada, and when I was working, and of course, as you know, gossiping is our nature. Sitting around during lunch hour over beer or whatever. And one of my colleagues tell a joke. And one time there was a Hispanic. Anyone Hispanic here? Thank you. Come to see God and ask, dear God, is there any chance that a Hispanic become American president? Then God say, look at him and say, well, not in your lifetime. Okay. And then a Chinese come over and ask him the same. He said, well, not in your lifetime. Everybody come and ask. And God always answer, not in your lifetime. And finally, one African American come by and ask him the same question, will ever any African American person become president of United States? Then God scratched his head and said, well, you know, not in my lifetime. Okay. Way back, of course. But now you can see, now our president, you see everything ever changing. Please understand that. Don't hold on to our opinion. Look back to our history during the Civil War, I say. You remember way back maybe 60, no, maybe about 40 years back. And now we have separate school, right? Well, and that is a very, very so-called, it's a real pain for all of us, okay? And slowly things change, you see. So everything must change. Therefore, please do not say, I am always right. You are always wrong. Because whatever I'm sharing now, next year, if I came back, I might say whatever I said before was wrong. Okay, because through practice, I find out that whatever I hold right today could be wrong next year. Just like Lisa asked a question last time, right? So through our practice, be at different stages, we see different. Okay. If you see me 10 years back, then you, I don't know how to call myself, okay? Even I have shaved hair, wearing brown robe, but I run around like crazy. Restless, very, very restless. But over time, over practice, slowly I change. And thanks to the so-called impermanence, we have a chance to change, to transform from so-called bad to good, transform from unwholesome to wholesome, thanks to practice. We must make our faith become wisdom, thanks to put into practice. And I believe you already heard about this story. An old man like myself can pour oil through a corn, right? I already shared that. So through practice, we get back. And for example, if we allow ourselves sitting still just a few minutes, and maybe 2-3 times a day, sitting still and relax, totally relax, the whole body relax, then mind will become calmer. Just like I always say, we allow mud having enough time to settle so that we can have clearer water on top. But what do we do with that clear water? If we just sit there and look at clear water, then there is no use to practice. That is the reason why we must have effort. Effort and concentration goes together. Sitting still, my mind so calm, so clear. But what for? If I don't know how to use it. So sit still, let it settle. Because if my concentration is so strong, I sit still forever, I still cannot transform my unwholesome mental formation. I cannot transform my emotion, my unwholesome emotion. I must use that clear mind to look at things so that I can transform it. And if I do not have concentration, have so much energy, then what happens? I will become restless, always looking for something to do, always look busy. Whether busy or not, I don't know, but always look busy. Too much effort becomes so restless. So sitting there, our body still, but our mind still restless. So be careful. The reason I said that, because I can fool my teacher easily. Sitting real still, but in here I think of, when I was in Burma, I think of states, think of Houston, think of my friends, think of everybody. Sitting there but thinking, restless. You say, let all the emotion control myself. How come I spend too much money to go from here to Burma and then torture myself? Instead of sitting in an air-conditioned room, sitting in a room, I sweat like crazy. The temperature around 110 all the time. Then become so hateful. Hate myself for that, you see. So concentration must go together with effort. Too much effort, we do not know how to use. Then it becomes restless. Too much concentration, then we become so passive. Just sit there and enjoy ourselves, enjoy the so-called sukha, the bliss. When we are at the blissful state of mind, we don't want to do anything. It's so calm, it's so nice, and it's so pleasant. I don't know how to describe it, because only when we drink a glass of water, then we know. But once we get in there, we don't want to get out. But what's the point? Because hiding in a blissful state of mind, I cannot solve my own problem at all. You see, I have to get out of it using mindfulness. Look at my own internal knots, my own problem. If I sit inside my rupture, then I do not know how to solve problems. I have to get out of it. Then use mindfulness and turn my calm mind, using that clear water, to see things through. And if we can see things through, what happened? If we know that sooner or later, every one of us in this room will pass away. That is the truth. Sooner or later, all of us will pass away. So what's the point to hold grudge? You see, what's the point? If we happen to have some problem with our spouse, with our children, and if we understand things the way they are, with wisdom, with mindfulness, with concentration, with effort, with faith, then we will know that holding grudge will make us suffer more. So if we understand that, therefore practicing will help us to overcome what I call, how do you pronounce it? Enmity? Do I pronounce it correctly? Right? Yeah. So there is no point to hold that at all. Don't cough our hate into a stone. If we happen to hate somebody, cough our hate on the surface of water. Yeah. This will be gone. It will be washed away. Thanks to our wisdom, the capacity to see things as they are. What does it mean? It means that everything ever changing, everything is interdependent. Everything is interdependent. Interconnected. We cannot live without. I cannot say I don't need you. You see, because yes, I might not need him, but I still need somebody else. You see, but I must say I need him a lot, because without him, he won't cook for me. I don't know how to cook. You see, so, but anyway, the longer we live together, especially a spouse, if we understand the Dharma, 15 more minutes, if we understand the Dharma, the longer we live together, the more we should learn to let go, to forgive, to forget. Everyone makes mistake. We all make mistake, but should let other people have enough space so that they can so-called adjust themselves, transform themselves, give them a chance. And somebody asked me, what happened if I forgive him or I forgive her, but he does not forgive me? Then what happened? Who can help me on that?
It's painful.
I'll kick him in the butt. No, actually, you see, that is the problem, because somehow we do not have enough patience. Like I share with somebody, if we do not make mistake, and but somehow other people, another person, don't like us, for example. They say some not so nice thing about us. They don't want to look at us. Every time we are here, they are over there. Every time we go to this temple, they go to a different temple. Okay, what can we do? We have to learn to be patient and learn to say, I am sorry. Learn to apologize even we do not make any mistake. It's very hard because our ego is right here. And it is very painful when I say, I am sorry, I made you suffer. But actually, I didn't do anything. Yes, and it's very, very painful. At first I say, oh no, not me. Because it is faking, you see. It's not real. It's not genuine. But the more I practice, I can see why. Because if I lower myself a little bit, of course I don't have the intention to make other people have bigger ego, but I just lower myself a little bit and say, I am sorry. The first time he or she might not accept it, but if I keep on saying, I am sorry, maybe he or she will have a second thought. And if I show my my honesty, when I say that, I believe that I can make that person transform. And that is something I did have experience. I keep, hello, how you doing? At first, it's very fake, okay? Very superficial. But the more I practice, the more every time I say, hello, how are you? How you feel, so on and so forth. And before we depart, I always throw in, I'm sorry for whatever I did to make you suffer, or for whatever I did not do which make you suffer. Sometimes something we don't do make them suffer too, unfortunately. So keep on doing it. But what happened if he or she does not let go, whereas we let go? And the way I see is everything must be two-way, okay? So the Buddha taught us in one of the sutra called horse training. Horse trainer. Once upon a time, when the Buddha went to see a horse trainer, the Buddha asked him, how do you train your horse? And then that trainer answered, well, dear sir, it depends. If a horse somehow every time he or she saw me, he or she run close to me so that I can pet, then that is a horse I can train. Okay. If a horse I have to call her name, she will come to me, and then I can train. But more difficult than the first one. If a horse, even I call her name, and she does not come over, but the moment I raise my stick, then she will come over, then she can be trained also. But of course, harder than the first two. And if the horse, even when she see me, she won't come over. Even I call her name, she won't come over. Even I scream, she won't come over. Even when I raise my stick, she won't come over. She only let me ride her after I beat her up. And then she still can be trained. Then the Buddha asked him, what happened if you went through all that after beating them up, they still cannot be trained, what will you do? Then the trainer said, well, it's too bad, I have to kill him because I cannot train. Horse trainer is supposed to train a horse so that other people can ride, okay? But now cannot train a horse. What's the point to keep them? That's what the trainer said. Then the trainer asked the Buddha, how do you train your monk? Oh, the same way you do. Some monk, when they see me, they come over and bow to me, prostrate to me, take care of me, that I can teach someone I have to, then he or she come over, then I can teach, so on and so forth. And the trainer asked the Buddha, what will you do if a monk or a nun, you cannot teach? Then the Buddha said, I kill them. Then the trainer said, what? Buddha kill a person? The Buddha said, oh no, let's just let go. Okay, just let go. He or she will be on their own. And out there, there are more wolves than in here. Out there, that's so heavy traffic. We're sitting in here warm, with warm water, enjoyed it. You see. So if we cannot make it, don't hold on to it. You see. Don't hold on to it. Because the longer we hold on to, the more crutch we can have. If we cannot make peace, of course, don't make war. Just stay away from. If I cannot make friends with somebody, all I have to do is go different direction. If that person is so hard to make friends with, if that person is so hard to transform, I will live in the chanting book. And there is one sutta called the mirror sutta to you. I can tell you that. Kinh soi gương á. Trong đó có you remember? Mirroring and reflecting sutta. Okay, read that and then we can see there's someone so hard to make friends with, so hard to transform them. Then all we can do is pray for them, because we know that sooner or later he or she will go into a wrong direction, and we spread our loving kindness toward them, pray for them, hopefully that they won't be suffering because of sidetracking. Okay, somebody so hard to make friends with, somebody so hard to transform. Yeah, measuring and reflecting sutta. Okay, so let us stop here and we'll see on Tuesday, right? Yeah. So, you have a question?
5 o'clock on Tuesday.
5 o'clock on Tuesday. Oh, 5 o'clock on Tuesday. And we will have a letter Thầy say about that. Tuesday, there's some new friendly if they want to come on Tuesday.
Tuesday, so Friday is exceptional, and Tuesday is our normal class. I mean, Tuesday, we start at 5. And we have 1 hour and a half, just like this, and we have 45 minute meditation. And then we have sutta recitations and chanting. And we have meal together. But today we just have 1.5 hours study and 45 minutes sitting. So we have some time to adjust the teaching.
Okay, so today is different from Tuesday. Tuesday starts at 5. Dhamma talk, sitting, chanting, and then potluck. That's the best part. tonight, right? Tonight is just Dhamma talk and sitting and go home. Go home is also best part. Thank you for listening, and let us have a few minutes of break, then go up there, try the best we can to focus on our breath. Any thought entering, recognize, bear attention, recognize, let go, go back to our breath. Keep on doing it. And as beginner like ourselves, thoughts always come in. Remember that. Don't worry, because it is very natural. Sit there, breathe in, feel the sensation here. Thoughts right there. Recognize, let go back to our breath. If we do not recognize, it means the gatekeeper, the mindfulness, does not do his responsibility. Gatekeeper, recognize. If we do not recognize whoever walking in, then sooner or later, spy will enter. You see, if we do not have so computer system, we do not have somebody watch, then we will have problem. Virus will enter, and then everything crash. So, having thought that is normal, recognize, let go, do not let our thoughts, our worries control us. Always aware, always aware. Keep on aware. Very, very tiring at first, but slowly and surely it will become just like eating. Every time things pop up, we know it's become almost automatically, you see. So don't worry about how we having so many thoughts. People always complain that how come before I learned to sit, I do not have any thought. I do not have any wandering mind. How come when I start sitting, I have so many wandering thoughts? Simple, because when we are busy working, we do not know that we are thinking, you see. Whereas when we are sitting and relaxed, then we can see 100 million thoughts within 1 hour. So recognize, let go, recognize, let go. Very tiring, but slowly it becomes very, very natural. And we enjoyed it, yeah.